Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Paper Soldiers, How the Weaponization of the Dollar Changed the World Order by Saliha Mohsen is a work of reported nonfiction that explains how the United States turned monetary dominance into a central instrument of state power, framed around the U.S. Treasury Department as a largely unseen hub of influence. The book traces the modern era of dollar policy from the late 20th century into the post-9/11 world, when financial sanctions and control over dollar-based networks became a routine way to pressure adversaries. Mohsen highlights the long shadow of the 1990s strong dollar posture associated with Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin, showing how a commitment to a strong currency supported low inflation and cheaper imports while also carrying political and economic trade-offs at home. With attention to different administrations and Treasury leaders, the narrative connects technical decisions about markets, payments, and sanctions to larger questions of geopolitics, institutional credibility, and the durability of U.S. financial leadership. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Treasury Department as a hidden center of geopolitical power. A core contribution of Paper Soldiers is its focus on the U.S. Treasury Department as more than an economic agency. Mohsen portrays Treasury as an operational command center for modern American power, where decisions about currency, banking access, and cross-border payments can alter the behavior of governments and firms worldwide, because so much global commerce relies on dollar clearing and USCA-linked financial infrastructure, Treasury tools can reach far beyond U.S. borders without the visibility of traditional military or diplomatic action. The book emphasizes how this influence is exercised through a mix of formal authority, interagency coordination, and relationships with private financial institutions. By spotlighting Treasury secretaries and senior officials across administrations, Mohsen helps readers understand how technocratic judgment, institutional norms, and political constraints shape outcomes. The theme is not that Treasury replaces diplomacy, but that it increasingly complements or substitutes for it, especially when military options are costly and legislative consensus is hard to achieve. The result is a clearer picture of how global power can be exercised through compliance systems, market expectations, and the rules that govern access to money. Secondly, the strong dollar era and its domestic trade-offs. Mohsen treats the strong dollar stance associated with the 1990s as a pivotal moment in how policymakers talked about the currency and what they prioritized. The strong dollar message helped reinforce confidence in U.S. economic management, supported a period marked by prosperity and access to cheaper imported goods, and aligned with the idea that a stable, trusted currency strengthens national influence. At the same time, the book connects this posture to enduring political backlash over deindustrialization and the perception that economic gains were unevenly shared. Mohsen does not reduce the decline of manufacturing to a single cause, but she uses the strong dollar framework to illustrate how currency strength can interact with trade patterns, corporate decisions, and community-level outcomes. This topic matters because it explains why dollar policy is never just about exchange rates. It is also about legitimacy at home. When large parts of the country feel that the benefits of a strong currency accrue to financing consumers while the costs land on workers and producers, the political foundation of the broader international economic strategy becomes shakier. EBIA. Mohsen uses this tension to show how domestic economics and global leadership are tightly linked. Thirdly, from post-9/11 finance to sanctions as a primary instrument of statecraft, one of the book's central arcs is the normalization of financial sanctions and related measures after 9/11. Mohsen explains how the United States learned to translate its central position in global finance into leverage against targets ranging from states to networks, using tools that can restrict access to dollars, banking relationships, and international payment channels. This approach became attractive because it can be powerful without requiring large troop deployments, and because private institutions often comply to avoid losing access to the U.S. financial system. The book presents sanctions not as a simple on-off switch, but as a spectrum of pressure shaped by legal authority, allied cooperation, and the willingness of banks and companies to implement restrictions. Mohsen also highlights the strategic dilemma embedded in this toolset. The more frequently the dollar system is used to punish or isolate, the more incentives rivals may have to seek workarounds, diversify reserves, or build alternative channels. That does not automatically dethrone the dollar, but it introduces long-term risk. By describing how sanctions became central to U.S. security policy, Mohsen clarifies why currency and payments infrastructure now belong in conversations about war, peace, and deterrence. Fourthly, institutional norms versus political pressure in dollar stewardship. Mohsen uses multiple administrations to show how the dollar depends not only on economic size, but also on governance credibility. Treasury leaders operate within a web of expectations about rule of law, predictable policy, and respect for institutions that global investors treat as part of the U.S. value proposition. When political leaders challenge long-standing norms, threaten to politicize financial decisions, or treat currency policy as a blunt political instrument, it can create uncertainty that markets notice even if the dollar remains dominant. This topic is important because it reframes dollar strength as a product of institutions as much as interest rates or growth. Mohsen also shows the practical reality of crisis management. Treasury secretaries must balance the immediate needs of markets, the demands of the White House, the constraints of Congress, and the behavior of foreign counterparts. The book highlights how behind the public messaging, there is constant effort to keep the currency and the financial system credible and functional. The larger point is that reserve currency status is not a permanent entitlement. It is reinforced by competence, consistency, and trust, and it can be weakened by domestic dysfunction even in the absence of a clear rival currency. Lastly, the future of dollar dominance and the risks of over-reliance. Paper Soldiers treats the dollar's current position as strong but not invulnerable. Mohsen foregrounds two categories of risk. The first is strategic, using the financial system as a weapon can encourage targeted countries to experiment with alternatives, however imperfect, and can push non-targeted actors to think about resilience against future coercion. The second is self-inflicted fiscal and political problems at home can erode the confidence that makes the dollar attractive in the first place. Rather than predicting a sudden collapse, Mohsen emphasizes erosion scenarios where dominance gradually becomes harder to maintain, alliances become harder to manage, and the costs of enforcement rise. The book also underscores that credible rivals are constrained. Competing currencies face their own institutional or market depth limitations, which helps explain why diversification is slow and partial. Still, Mohsen argues that complacency is dangerous because the dollar system depends on continued belief in U.S. stability and responsible governance. This topic ties the narrative together by showing that dollar power is a tool with feedback effects. It can deliver short-term leverage while creating incentives and vulnerabilities that accumulate over time, reshaping the world order it once helped stabilize. In conclusion, Paper Soldiers is best suited to readers who want to understand how global finance and foreign policy now overlap, including journalists, policy professionals, students of international relations, and engaged general readers willing to follow institutional detail. The intellectual payoff is a clearer map of how power operates through mundane mechanisms, compliance departments, bank access, settlement systems, and the credibility of U.S. governance. Mohsen helps connect domestic economic choices to international consequences, showing why debates about manufacturing, trade, and fiscal management can ultimately affect the durability of American influence abroad. Practically, the book equips readers to interpret major news events differently. Sanctions announcements, currency moves, and treasury statements are not side stories. They are often the main story in a world where economic coercion can substitute for military action. What makes the book stand out in its category is its treasury-centered lens. Many books about dollar dominance focus on the Federal Reserve, macroeconomics, or broad imperial history. Mohsen, instead, spotlights the people and institutional machinery that translate dominance into action, especially in the post-9/11 era of financial warfare. By combining explanatory journalism with a governance and geopolitics frame, Paper Soldiers offers a timely account of how the dollar became both an asset and a potential liability for USS leadership, and why maintaining that advantage depends as much on domestic stability as on foreign rivals. If you would like to support Salaha Mohsen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.